thing is, people don't realize this. Is,
I know.
I can get you all this all the time. Hardware is another question.
I'd like to call the January 11th, 2017 meeting of the Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission to order. First item on our agenda is roll call. Present this evening, we have Commissioners Kraft, Jensen, Flowers, Schlosser, Steele, Williams, Bartoy, House, and ex officio McClintock. And with that mispronunciation in mind, I'll turn over to Ruben to introduce our new commissioners.
So I'll keep it brief, and maybe Ken and Kevin want to say something about yourselves. But the City Council recently appointed Kevin Bartoy to the Landmarks Commission. You are with Washout Ferries, is that correct?
Yep, Ferries Division, Washout.
And a cultural resources expert working on environmental permitting?
Yeah, I'm now the environmental and permitting manager for Washington State Ferries. And in my former life at Washout, I was a cultural resources lead for the Northwest Region and Alaskan White Viaduct project, where I know we can share.
So super excited to have Kevin here. And then Ken House, whom I think several of you will know already, is returning to the Landmarks Commission after a few years off. Ken actually served as the chair for at least a term, and happy to have him back. Are you still at the archives? Or?
32 more working days.
You're not counting or anything, are you?
I don't really actually want to leave, but I'd like to stop commuting to Seattle. So,
at any rate, we're very happy to have these appointments to round out the commission for us.
Great. Welcome. Then we also have a new historic preservation intern.
Yeah, I'm happy to introduce Annika Olson. She is a graduate student in the new community planning program at UWT, and she's going to be working on the Prairie Line Trail and preservation programming and possibly some landmarks research. So I'll let you introduce yourself a little bit.
Great. So I'm in the new MA Community Planning Program, first year of the program, which is, I'm excited to be in this kind of first cohort. Just prior to starting at the city this Monday, I was working for the Co-op Watershed Initiative on active transportation issues. And prior to that, I lived in New Orleans for 5 years, where I did bike education and advocacy. But my undergraduate degree is in history, so I'm so excited to be working on the Prairie Line Trail because it combines this mixed-use trail with the historic value and place-based storytelling that I did as an undergrad. I'm also really excited to work on Historic Preservation Month and, help connect folks to their communities in new ways. So I'm just really excited to be here and look forward to working for all of you.
Awesome.
Thanks, Annika.
And I have to leave to go to class. Right now. But look forward.
Thanks for stopping by. It was good to meet you. All right. The next item on our agenda is the consent agenda. We don't have any absences to excuse. Eugene said that he was going to be late, so he will be here at some point. And then in your packets, there are minutes from the December 14th meeting. Unless there are any edits or comments about the minutes, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Oh.
I think Roger Johnson had requested me to use it.
Oh, he did? Oh, yeah, sorry, I missed that on there. Thank you. Adding that to the consent agenda. Thanks for catching that. Are there any additions or edits to the minutes, or is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Motion made by Commissioner Williams. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Jensen. Any other comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. Motion carries. All right. The next item on our agenda is design review, but the applicant is not here yet. So we're going to move on to item 4, board briefings for the Theater District station relocation. So staff will give us a report, but if anyone wants to come up for the presentation portion, feel free.
And just to let the commission know, because of inclement weather in the Portland area, part of the design team will be talking on the conference phone, which we've set up here. I know, this is totally new.
This is so fancy for us.
No. Goodness.
So it's going to take a minute to get that set up.
Oh, yeah.
Be patient.
And we even have heat, so you know.
I do want to let the commission know that the heater is on a timer. That's how it's set up in here. So, so as you ask your questions, I just want to let you know you have an hour. Heat plunges again. Just kidding. I can't.
See, I hope the lights go off.
Let's see.
I think it's set literally at 7, and the preservation board meetings often go later than 7. Believe me.
And bring the candles out.
Yeah, no, there is a way to turn them on. The staff has to run around and do something.
This is 2017. This is your first.
This is Emily. Sorry, missed your call.
No,
I'm sorry. If I can. Bye-bye.
That too, if you want to, make sure.
Yeah, we actually have a
meeting.
Okay.
Great. Okay. We will. Yes. No, that's okay. We will. You guys are up next. Sorry, we're having a little schedule, but we'll have staff give a report, and then if you want to come up and answer any questions, you're more than welcome to.
Okay. We don't have to put on the presentation.
You do not have to put on. You are good. Mostly asking questions if we have any answers.
Okay.
All right. Switching things around, can we have a report, please?
Thank you. Built in 1889, this is a conservation property in the North Slope Historic District. On November 18, 2015, the Landmarks Preservation Commission approved a code enforcement action for the demolition of the garage. The new owner is now proposing to build a 22 by 24 alley access garage in a similar style. The garage siding will be hardy plank, painted to match the house with white trim. The garage height will be 10 by 8 with a metal flashing roof. A composite window and door will face the house. The garage doors will be paneled, and there will be a small parking pad adjacent to the garage. Other proposed work includes replacing several vinyl windows on the main house with composite wood windows and replacing the deck railing. The applicant has provided an example of the railing. The material will be either wood or composite. Action requested is approval of the above scope of work. The standards that apply are the North Slope Historic District Design Guidelines, almost all of them. The analysis is that this property is a contributing structure in the North Slope, and as such is subject to review by this commission. Two original windows are being repaired. Three non-historic vinyl windows are being upgraded to composite windows. Four replacement porch railing is similar to other railings found in the district. Five garage is alley accessed and sited towards the rear of the lot where it is minimally visible from the roadway. The garage height and style are similar to the demolished garage as well as others in the district. Seven hardy plank siding composite windows are acceptable materials for new garages. According to the district design guidelines, staff recommends approval of the application. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have anything you'd like to add? You can come up to the table if you'd like, just so we can ask questions.
Okay. What would you like?
You are as great. Low pressure.
Good.
Just so we can all see you. Did you have anything else you'd like to add to the report?
No, we just, you know, when I gave this project to the architect, the idea was to recreate what was originally there to maintain the integrity of the... The garage never did match the original house, but it does match that period when the garages were added. So, and I took a look in the neighborhood. There are other garages similar to that that maintain that same period appearance. So that's about all I have.
Great. Thank you. And you say that you wanted to reproduce what was originally there. Are you saying you were basing it on other neighborhood garages, or did you have documentation?
There are other garages in the neighborhood that look similar to this, that are in similar style houses. That's one picture of a house. This one's actually outside the historic district, but it's very similar to the one. I think ours is going to be a little bit nicer than this, but it's going to be similar to that style.
And the garage that was demolished was also on that side.
That's the house there.
And do we have a list of the windows that you're replacing in the house, or which ones are they?
The only windows, there's in the back here, the window in the upper, well, the two upper windows were just basically, when we finish with it, we're going to be, you're not going to be able to notice any change that's there, because we're just replacing the rotted trim with new trim with composite. I think some of them have vinyl. We're replacing the vinyl with the composite as well.
So just the trim, not the...
Not the windows, no. The windows are still in decent shape. We actually, at one point in time, we were the one in the upper right we were going to replace, but we found the original window there. Oh. So we're going to try to keep that.
And the one that looks like it's downstairs with the wood panel over it?
I'm sorry?
The one that's down, this one?
There's a glass. Okay. I don't know why they boarded it up, but... It's there.
Was this house vacant for a period of time?
Yes.
It was foreclosed.
Exactly. Okay. About 5 years.
And just for the commission's information, too, under the commission's bylaws for window replacement, if they were replacing vinyl windows with the composite clad wood window, we'd probably be reserving that for administrative review. We wouldn't bring that to the full commission. It's just part of the overall project because they're building in the garage, which is definitely subject to the commission's review.
So that little caveat in the report was just to let us know other work that was going on that's administrative review, but you're just seeking our approval on the garage. Is that correct? Okay.
Well, I was going to say that it's really great that you guys have moved into this house. It's been empty for a while, and it's great that there are folks that are moving in, and I thoroughly agree with the window replacement as Ruben outlined. And the garage looks great. The only question that I have, really more of a suggestion, we tend not to like slider windows. And prefer to have a double hung or vertical window rather than a horizontal one, and I think you have one indicated at least in the rear elevation for the slider. So my only suggestion would be that you perhaps make that into a vertical window or more of a something that looks more like the casement windows that you have in the house.
Sure. That would not be a problem.
Are there any other questions or comments from the commission? Do we all generally agree with staff's analysis?
Yes.
Great. Would someone like to make a motion then?
I make a motion to approve the plans as submitted for 714 North K, with the recommendation that instead of the sliding window, it be a vertical single hung window.
Motion made by Commissioner Williams. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Schlosser. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. right. I think we're back to the theater district station relocation. I hope so.
I will email you an approval of your permits.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
More technical difficulties, we can take care of some other important business.
Yes, we can move on if we want to. Just keep circling back.
While I'm getting this set up, I did bring some hard copies, so if you'd like to follow along.
Would you like me to give the staff report while we're doing this?
Yes, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Just really brief staff report. This is agenda item 4A, theater district relocation, which is in the Old City Hall Historic District. Sound Transit is currently in final design phase for the expansion of the Tacoma Link Light Rail, which will add 2.4 miles of track from downtown to Hilltop. This expansion includes 6 new center platform station stops and the relocation of the existing Theater District station to 2 blocks north along Commerce, just south of the existing Spanish Steps and the I-705 on and off ramp near Old City Hall. The new station will consist of a center platform from which patrons can access trains in both directions. Pedestrian access will be from the location of an existing mid-block crosswalk, and the platform will have a single entry at the north end of the platform. The design team will be presenting updated images from what you see in the packet for feedback. At this time, this is a design briefing, so there is no action before the commission, and hopefully we'll be able to connect.
Okay.
Please enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign. To enable audio controls, please enter your audio PIN followed by the pound or hash sign. If you do not have a PIN, just press pound or hash.
Hello, is anybody on? I'm going to do a send emails and texts here and just get started.
Emily's here.
Oh, great. Hi, Emily. Okay.
Hi.
Great. All right. So I'll get started. I'll introduce myself and then introduce the team here. So hi, everybody. I'm Cynthia Fidelia. I'm the architect from Sound Transit who's managing the Tacoma Link extension. And today what we want to do is give you an overview of the project, but we also want to focus on the Theater District Station, which is in the Old City Hall Historic District. But before we get into too much detail, I'm going to introduce the team here. This is Mimi Sheridan. I don't know if many of you know her, but Mimi, maybe you can just introduce yourself.
I'm an historic preservation consultant. I've been doing this for about 20 years. I've been working on various projects with Sound Transit for about 10 years, advising them on historic preservation issues.
And then Emily Rafe is on the phone right now. She is from Waterleaf Architecture, and unfortunately, she was supposed to be here tonight, but she got snowed in Portland, so that's why she's calling in. So she's the architect working on our consultant team. And then Rick Nanege is from HDR, the prime consultants for this project. And then we have Gail Deller, who is the Sound Transit permits coordinator for this project. All right. Emily, do you have anything to add before I get into it?
No, just my apologies. I couldn't join in person, but we've got about 14 inches of snow, and Keith Brown is here in case of emergency, and we'll do our best to walk through this remotely. So, thank you, Cynthia.
All right, great, thanks.
Better than our rainstorm that canceled schools for earlier.
Okay, so give you a little brief introduction. So today, I'll give you a project overview, as I mentioned, and then we are in the final design stages. So again, I'll give you an overview of what to expect during final design. And then what I also want to do is talk about Sound Transit a little bit in terms of the Tacoma Link that's there now and lessons that we've learned since then. The system's been in operation for a little over 10 years, and so that transforms into some standards that we've developed over time. So I do want to talk about that because the Theater District Station will fit within that context. So I just want to give you a background of the whole project and how the Theater District fits within that. And then we will talk about the Theater District Station and the design of where we are now.
Before moving on to station naming, so there's a brief process for that, and then some next steps for the commission as well as the project. All right, so as Ruben mentioned in the briefing, the project does add almost 2.5 miles of an extension from the existing line here. So you're probably familiar with the existing line that moves, but it ends at the current Theater District station. So we are extending the line, adding 7 new station platforms. And so you can see the line continues up Commerce around Stadium, a brief little piece in the Stadium District around First before turning onto Division, and then heading south along MLK. And during final design, what you can expect is we are going to continue the work that we've done during the preliminary engineering stage, which was developing the location of the track work. So that's fairly set in the location. So we'll just develop those details. So we are at the point where we are developing the station designs, as you'll see. And we will also conduct some field work. So you all might see some crews out there doing some survey work for the next few months. And we're also going to be developing our construction documentation to lead us to construction. And the other thing I should briefly mention is that there is a streetscape project that the City of Tacoma is managing in conjunction with us, and that does take place mostly along MLK. And correct me if I'm wrong, if there's anything else to add to that. And as far as community and third-party coordination, that's very important for our agency. This is part of it, coming to a group like yours, but we also do community outreach events. In December, we did an overall station presentation, and we did a similar presentation to this, and we went to the public. I think we were at Evergreen College, and we had a very good turnout and some good comments from that. So we will be back. We're at the milestone that we call preliminary or interim 60%. So we're not quite at the 60% design milestone. We will reach that milestone in the next couple of months in the spring. And then we'll be back at 60%. And then at 90%, we call it the 90%, but that's essentially when the project is complete. And we like to just go back out to everyone and say, this is all the hard work that we've put into the project, and that we've taken some of your feedback and incorporated that, and here we are, and here's what's going to happen in the next few months during construction. So that'll come in the summer of this year. So going into the existing station platforms and some of our standards, you'll see some of the existing station platforms that you have now, and if you notice, each one is a little bit different. And what we're doing for this extension is to standardize the station layouts a little bit more. As I mentioned, the line has been in operation for over 10 years, and we've learned some lessons in terms of how things are maintained or some security and operations topics. So from that, we've developed some standards. And so what I want to talk to you about is the design criteria manual that we've developed over time, working both here in Tacoma as well as further north with the development of our Link Light Rail in the central Puget Sound area and the Seattle area. But for Tacoma Link specifically, I want to talk about these standards in terms of the components and how they come together as a platform. So I'll quickly go through some of these components. So here you see a typical platform layout, and what you'll see in this next few slides is based on our preliminary engineering canopy model. So it's not what you're going to see in terms of what our current design is, but this is really just an illustration to show you how these components can fit together and make one whole system in the platform. So we have our station platforms. You'll see in the top left there, pull out a pointer here, this works. So the top left is an entry. Most of the stations are about 60 feet long. There are a couple that are a little bit longer that I can go through in a few minutes. But for the most part, you'll see a platform layout like this, where you have an entry at one end, as you can see in the top left. And then there's tracks on either side. So we have center platform stations, which means that the platforms are in the middle of the road, and the rails are on either side, so you can catch a train in either direction on one platform. And the cars for the extension will be running in the same lane as the trackway, which is different than what you have now. Right now you have a dedicated lane for the trackway. So once we extend, the cars will join in the same lane. And the other thing, two things to point out here are some materials. So this right here, we have our yellow platform edge tile. That is also something that is in your existing stations today. And there's a picture on the bottom left of what the typical tile is that we use these days. And then stainless steel is something that we like to use in what we call the touch zone, which is where people can easily touch these areas, and you don't have to maintain stainless steel very much, so it's really easy for us to use that material as much as possible, but while still being conscious with costs. The next thing you'll see is our canopy structures, and those are typically painted steel. And right now we have a color palette that consists of those colors on the left there. Believe it or not, you've got it looks like multiple shades of gray, but the top left is a medium gray, the next one down is kind of a dark blue, and then the next one down is a black, and then there's a lighter gray. The lighter gray we don't use in exterior situations as much because it gets really dirty, so we like to use the darker colors because they're easier to maintain. And then right now what we have are two highlighted colors. They're the accent colors, the yellow and the red. So those colors are typically used for anything that we have to paint and field paint. The next component of our canopies is windscreen and weather protection and canopy glazing. So we do have typical windscreen sizes. We may be adjusting those a little bit for Tacoma Link, but we do want to standardize our glazing sizes because if they get damaged, they get scratched, they get broken, it's really easy for our maintenance crews to come out, pull one out really quick, and put another one in very quickly without having to have an open spot for days on end. So those are very most likely clear, but then when you get to the canopy protection, we do want to allow some light through the canopy. So if we do choose to use glazing in the canopy above, it is translucent. Again, that is for maintenance, because if a bunch of stuff gets stuck on there, you don't see it immediately, and we can take our maintenance crews a little bit of time to come through and sweep that up. Other things you'll see are customer signage. So you can see the sign for the convention center. Our signage is pretty standard throughout this system, and it will continue through the extension. We also have information panels, so you can see on the left-hand side there. Waste receptacles we'll be providing, and then we also will have fare payment once this extension goes in. So currently there is no fare payment activity, but once the extension is in operation, we will have our vending machines on the right side, and then we also have Orca card readers, and those are for frequent users that have an Orca card. You can just tap on, get on the train. It's fairly easy. And our trains, of course, run on electricity. So this shows the overhead contact system, and there is an overhead contact system there now, so we'll just continue that pattern throughout the system extension. And then the very last thing, you'll start seeing some trains and benches and riders. And I don't know why my little... Oh, there it is. So benches and riders will be the last thing that you'll see. And there may be some other components like speakers, PA, sorry, not PA, but dynamic signage for next train information. So we're looking at all those different things and some utilitarian things like electrical boxes and stuff like that would be another platform as well. So there are 7 new station platforms. 6 of them are single-ended, like the example I just showed. One of the platforms is double-ended, which is the stadium district, which means there's an entry on both sides, both ends. Most 5 platforms are 60 feet long, and then 2 of them are 100 feet long. And the theater district station, as I mentioned, will be relocated. It will be relocated 2 blocks north of the existing station. It is single-ended, and it is 60 feet long. And the reason why we are relocating the station is because of the extension. One of the major reasons is that it brings the location of that station a little bit of a more even distance between the last station and the next station, which will be a 4th and Stadium Way. And another thing you'll see throughout our system is the traction-powered substation. So yes, we do run on power, and what these things do is they take the utility power and they convert it to power that the trains can use. So it takes the power under the contact wire that I had mentioned before. And especially when they are very visible, we do screen them. Sometimes the screening has artwork. So these are some examples of screening that we've provided in the past. And there are four sites. None of them are within the historic districts, but those are the four sites where we do have traction power substations, or TPSS. You might hear that term. So that's where they are along this alignment and this extension. We do have an art program, and Kurt Kiefer is our art manager. I have some notes. Unfortunately, he was not able to come either. But what we do, so these are some examples of art that we have incorporated in the past. So the image, the last two images on the right there are from Tacoma. And typically what we do for our art program is we have a selection panel, an artist selection panel, which is comprised of professionals. So this particular panel for this project, we are working with, our art program is working with Amy McBride and the Tacoma Arts Commission. And so we have commissioned her to create this artist selection panel. And the panel consists of, city representatives, art professionals, and community representatives as well. And so what this panel is commissioned to do, or will be commissioned to do, is to hire artists, either one artist or a group of artists for the whole extension, and that includes the theater district station. And so they do solicit information as far as getting to know the community, and they do try their best to relate to the community. As far as the schedule for that, we are hiring an artist coming up. The idea is to hire the artist within this next quarter, this first quarter, and at the same time we'll hire a fabricator. The hope is that both are local, but it all depends on the commission, the selection panel. And so the intention for this schedule that you see on the screen is that the artist will be selected, and then a fabricator will be selected at the same time, and they can work together. So it's sort of, if you're familiar with the GCCM method of construction delivery, it'll be similar to that, where the fabricator will have some feedback, will provide feedback to the artist in terms of how the piece can be fabricated. And I'll talk about where the opportunities are in a few minutes. And here we are, the section that you've all been waiting for, the station design. And Emily, I'm going to probably kick over to you a little bit just to see if you have anything to add. Okay, so the Theater District station, as I mentioned, will be relocated a couple of blocks north, and it's actually going to be very close to two very historic buildings, the Old City Hall building, and then the McMenamin's Elk Lodge building, and it's right adjacent to the Spanish Steps. So here are a few context photos, and you see the steps over there, and then the Old City Hall building, so you may be familiar, and then I caught the corner here. Some of these, I had to dig up these photos, so I don't have a great picture of the lodge, but you can catch the corners of it there. And so, Emily, I'm on the existing site photo now, so you know. And you can see the Old City Hall building just to the right. And here's where we're going to start to introduce the station design. So what you see here is a center platform station, as I described. And our intention for, as I mentioned with this extension, is to try to standardize the forms that we use for the extension, and our hope is that we can provide something here at the Theater District Station that's very close, if not the same, as what we're using throughout the extension, but still find something that's elegant enough to fit within the context of this historic neighborhood. So what you see here, and I'll walk you through the plan, is two different structures, two different canopy structures on either side of the platform, or either end of the platform. But you'll see we're still using our material palette that is, we found to be easy to maintain. It's non-combustible, but still has some simple forms. And it doesn't make, it's not very complicated, I guess is what I'm trying to say, in terms of fitting it within the context of the neighborhood. So here's the plan. If you see on the left, there's the existing crosswalk, the existing mid-block crosswalk that Ruben mentioned in the briefing. And as I mentioned, this platform is 60 feet long. Let's see if my pointer will work again. There it goes. So here's that 60-foot long platform. And what we're seeing now is the entry and then a little walk, a little sloped walk, until you get to the actual boarding and waiting area. So in the gray there are our two canopies. So that's our canopy coverage. And the layout of this, so we've got ticket vending here. Our Orca card machines would be located here. And some informational panels, TVM, which is our ticket vending machines. And then we've got some benches. And then an open area here for pedestrian circulation. So the layout of these platforms is very open. It allows for free circulation, and it also is very accessible for ADA accessibility. And it's pretty simple. So you've got the two trains, we've got doors here, so there's a single door there, and then a double door here, and a double door there. And the same thing, but on the opposite side for the outbound train. So one single door, two double doors, another door here. And what we've tried to do with this design is provide coverage for at least one of the doors, and that happens to be the door that has this bridging, what's it called, bridge plate, thank you, the bridge plate that extends out for ADA and wheelchair access. So that is the door right there that where it's covered.
Where are the
Could I chime in a little bit here?
Sure.
This is Emily speaking. I just wanted to point out a couple of things about the plan. The intent is to keep the original curb line on the street, and then you'll see on the east side of the platform, we're changing the parking from angled to parallel parking because of the reduced width due to having the platform in the center. But we are maintaining two lanes of bikes travel on each side of the platform.
Great, yes, thank you for reminding
me.
Go ahead, do you have more?
Yeah, just one additional comment about having the two offset canopies. The original assumption was that there would be one centered canopy where people waiting for trains on both sides would wait. But due to the narrow width of the platforms and the desire to create a very open circulation pattern, especially for customers in wheelchairs, we decided to instead create two smaller canopies that are offset, so there's a generous, more open place to wait on each side of the platform.
Okay, thank you.
Where are the vertical pylons, or whatever you want to call them, the posts that we see that support the canopy, where do they fall within the plan?
There'll be one right here, and one there, and then one there, and one there. Are we showing three? We're showing two. So yeah, so there would be one here, one there, one there, and one right about there.
If you advance to the next slide, the elevation, it's easier to see.
And during the outreach and community input sessions, was there, how did you land on the center platform for this relocation?
For this particular one?
Yes.
Rebecca, I'm going to ask you to answer that question as
well. Well, it was all, I mean, we did look at side platforms in this location, but there were issues with, and it wouldn't have been here, it would have been closer to where the existing station is. But there wasn't any way, you know, and essentially try and preserve the existing platform, but there was no way to put a corresponding side platform on the other side. And so, you know, then we looked at side platforms further down, but you know, there were just lots of constraints to doing it, and eventually it just, you know, there was a particular city council member who was pushing for a center platform at this location, and it really, you know, it seemed to make the most sense just from operational, and you know, it's a very constrained area down there. There were a lot of improvements that were done as part of the Stadium Way project, and some drainage improvements had to be made that we can't touch at this point. And so the center stop just became the best option.
Factor was the surrounding buildings.
Yeah.
Because there was at one point a proposal to have it near, right next to Old City Hall, but in the environmental review it was discussed, and they wanted to bring it out. They wanted to bring it out from the building.
I see.
So it doesn't obscure the historic building. So and that was an important factor.
Was the response overwhelming for those to justify or to make up for those two blocks? I'm trying to understand how overwhelming it was for community members to move that station two blocks, whether it's north?
It is two blocks north.
Yeah. We
can go back later, show you the site plan again. But yeah, it's two blocks north.
And so overwhelmingly the community feedback was these two blocks were just too much to walk, or how did
I don't know. Well, do you
I don't think that was ever a concern voiced by anyone as far as moving it helps with the overall spacing of the stops.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest driving factor was this just fit better with the surrounding buildings than any other location. Given that we needed to add another, we needed a stop for traffic, for vehicles going in the other direction. And there wasn't any way to do it on the side. So the center option. We also have the constraint of, in order, when we build the system, we can't take that existing station out of service. This one will be completely built and operational before the theater district station is taken out, because service is basically just going to be interrupted for a weekend when the systems are connected. And so there's challenges in making that happen as well.
You also have the bike lanes on either side.
Yeah, and the bike lanes are a huge part of it, difficult with site platforms.
Can you explain what's going to happen to the existing station? You said it's going to be relocated, but I'm mainly interested in, if I walk down the street after it's relocated, am I going to see evidence of that? Is there going to be any concrete? Everything's going to be gone, and it'll be as if it wasn't there, or is there going to be something left that I'm not quite sure what that was?
When we say relocated, we're not physically moving the existing station. We're basically just changing the station location. But when the new station or the existing station comes out, where the platform now sits will be parallel parking.
So it'll be back to the street.
It'll be back to what it was originally, almost.
Great. Did that help answer your question? Okay, so if we can move on. This is a platform elevation. So it helps to illustrate the scale of both the train and the canopies relative to the surroundings. So you can see they're fairly simple forms, and it also helps to illustrate the materials that we're proposing to use, the steel and the glass elements. Emily, do you have anything to add?
I do. One major thing that drove the design of this canopy is that we wanted to provide a lot of opportunities for art installation, and the art program will follow the construction of the canopies. So for now, on the architecture side, we're just providing a variety of places where the artists can install their work. So the vertical columns are one area that the art can go, and the nice thing about this is it provides a big space above the touch zone, which is where most of the graffiti tends to occur, above 8 feet and below. So So the columns are a great place for vertical art. The art can go up above the canopy, and the art can also go on the cantilevered beams, which is where you see the station signage and so forth. Towards the right side of the drawing is a concrete bulb where there's an option to have vegetative plantings, which can also bring some of the mechanical pieces that we're looking into as an option. So that's another location where art could be integrated. And then the other comment I had about the design is that it's meant to be timeless, so not necessarily historic or trying to mimic the design of the buildings, not necessarily modern, but just a very honest and a very timeless sort of canopy design.
Thinking about the art just for a moment, one of the things I particularly like about this design is it's very clean, it's very spare, it's not distracting from the existing buildings there. So will you be coming back with the art? Because it seems like there's the potential of having distracting or a very large piece of art there. It doesn't look like you've done that in the past, but the art is an open question at this point, obviously, because the artists haven't presented their designs.
Yes. So the Arts Commission will be reviewing the artwork. And so the intention is for the commission to be, the Arts Commission to be the entity that reviews the content of the art. We can certainly come to you and just give you briefings of where the artwork is, but as far as comment and review, our intention really is to have Amy McBride to review.
And I can add a little bit to that. Typically, we've had a similar instances with design review with the Tacoma Art Museum expansion and so forth, where the selection and I guess design process for the public art component has been deferred to the Arts Commission, but the general location, the scale, and those sorts of things are indicated as part of the design that the Landmarks Commission reviews. Because obviously there's a creative element and process that goes through the development of the art. I think that, you know, if the commission has any particular guidance relative to that, for instance, the you know, concern that you end up with too much, you know, like visual clutter or something that would affect or negatively affect or impact the historic district, that can be communicated across, I think, as well. Is one of the things that Landmarks Commission is concerned about. And that's just been our typical approach in the past to these things.
Like Pacific Avenue, the art installation.
Yeah.
We had a design presentation, didn't we, of that?
General, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But did the commission actually approve or disapprove that,
yeah.
Or was just...
No, the commission did not.
Is the location of the crossing the same location where we had approved past lighting designs for the, I think it was for the city, but it was because of the property owners' flooding issues?
Mm-hmm. The crossing there was redesigned, and along with that railing and curb system along the other side. And I think that, if I recall, there was some commentary you may have actually had about the placement of the lights relative to the formal context of the stairs, the steps.
Yeah.
So yes, that's the same crossing, is that correct?
Yes.
So they're using the same crossing.
And that was referenced also when the comment was talking about the side. There's a whole set of water issues that come into play there that were solved. It's like, don't bother.
We're not going to touch that.
So that's not being, that curb is not being touched. It's just further down where the parking is being modified.
Yeah, and even there, we're not touching the curb.
Okay.
And there may be a curb ramp down at 7th that needs to be adjusted in some way.
Today is just a briefing, is that correct? So, okay, because it would be nice potentially to see how this design integrates with that, what's beyond. Like on the slide that says aerial view looking south. We can't really see what's going on there in terms of the lighting and the design that was, and it's built, right?
The crossing is built.
Yeah. So it might be nice to see, not necessarily an aerial view like this, but
a plan view
and a perspective looking across the street to see how these railings and crossing elements integrate with that design, because there was some care taken in terms of how that lighting and the stuff that's on that side of the street integrated with the Spanish Steps, and so we just don't want something that would offset that connection or something like that.
I would also, the only lighting that we would put in would be like under the canopy lighting.
I
would add to Commissioner Steele's comment that I think we would like to see where the power lines and their poles and so forth are placed along in this section, and how that might integrate with that same issue.
Because you're also showing bollards that appear lighted on the end of that pole, too.
That's a good point. We probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of where my concern is, my concern is mostly about that crossing and how it integrates with Spanish Steps, and less so concerned about the new structure, the platform and structures. It's mainly about that road crossing, because it is a pedestrian connection that was historic.
Okay, this is Emily addressing the questions about the Spanish Steps. And if you have one of the handouts, or Sophia, if you're able to go back a few slides to the one that says proposed site plan, which has an existing aerial photo and the station overlaid within that. So you can see that we are planning to keep the crosswalk in the same location with that same alignment to the Spanish Steps and the same light fixtures along the edge of the street. So that you would have that same relationship and have the entrance to the platform be centered on that street property. There was a good comment about showing the power poles and other elements in the drawings, and we can certainly add those for the next iteration.
Are there any other questions before we move on?
I think a strong case could be made, given the historic nature of this location, to, I'm concerned that if we're putting art on, you know, the vertical pilasters, it could really compete with the buildings, and that's just such an important location in the historic district. I think a strong case could be made for less is more in that location as far as artwork goes. I personally feel like public art is going to be fantastic, but in that location, you know, those two buildings are going to be art themselves. So I particularly like the very clean, just simple vertical and horizontal planes that you've got with the canopy, and I would not like to see sculpture sitting on top of the canopy or attached to the vertical pilasters.
Big fish.
I'm envisioning those giant balls that are on Pacific right now, sitting on top of that or something.
Or
elk.
A 60-foot orca whale in steel probably would not really. I really appreciate that comment. I mean, I'd like to reinforce that the buildings themselves are art in themselves. Maybe the budget for art could be largely spent elsewhere, or be under the canopy in this location. And I'm not sure it's really necessary there particularly, but I'm not the Art Commission by any means.
I do think that, you know, I know the art budget goes for the entire expansion, correct?
Yes,
so
it does.
You could decorate the heck out of those other
All right, fair enough.
I might also add to, you know, the smaller in profile the structural steel can be,
know, to, you know, let's not make it as, I mean, let's try not to have really hefty steel for the sake of really hefty steel.
Doesn't need to be stainless steel.
That's right. Minimal.
And just for the, I mean, I have a number of comments on the public art piece. I mean, we'll discuss that after this meeting on the approach and you know, what the best process is and how we can coordinate that as well. So it has been in effect. I think that the Pacific Avenue, you mentioned that specifically, they were the Pacific Avenue Streetscape Project overlapped the old City Hall by a couple of blocks, and this commission was briefed on those particular items. I think Amy actually came in on that. So, and then as well as a briefing on the entire streetscape project, which overlapped, but wasn't entirely in the historic district. So we can talk about that and figure something out.
Okay. That'd be great, because if you desire some sort of overlap as a commission, it would be good for us to work that out pretty early so that we know how to go through our processes. So yeah, we appreciate that.
If, this just kind of goes beyond that station, but knowing the intensive public processes that these projects go through, I know you're, the focus you kept saying on standardization, mm-hmm. which is understandable with maintenance and everything else. Can you just comment on any of the process that's happened or any discussion that's happened around drawing out some of the uniqueness of each of the places or drawing on community input about to make the stations reflective of their place, I guess, throughout the city?
It's a good question. As you can see, these platforms are, there's not much to them. I mean, they're very simple and not very big. There is some opportunity. I hate to put pressure on the art program because there's no guarantee. I mean, there's a good amount of artistic freedom that we have to allow, but that's one opportunity of differentiation. And at this point, we went out to a similar set of drawings for the briefing that I told you about in December, and we're just combing through the comments that we received. So I don't know if there was a lot of feedback in terms of the desire to want each individual station to have its own identity and to what extent that is. But it's something that we're considering, and we recognize that it can be challenging. And I think that's something that we'll develop as we move forward with the design. Anything else? We just have a few more slides. So I think the next slide really was this section. And this, again, just illustrates the scale of the project. And it also illustrates what we're trying to achieve in terms of protection for the weather and the overhead canopy. And it also illustrates the open nature of the station. It's a pretty narrow platform. The overall width of the platform is 12 feet. And then once you take the truncated dome or the platform edge tiles, we're really left with 8 feet. So there's not a whole lot left, but that's one of the reasons why we have structures on either end or either side, so we can keep the middle as open as possible. And here's another perspective of what we just have been talking about. And then we were looking at this aerial view looking south earlier when we were talking about the crosswalk. Emily, do you have anything to add?
I think we've already kind of gone through that original alignment, and I think you've covered it.
Great. And this is a good, so I'm on the aerial view looking north right now, and we, so this is a good illustration on platform materials. Right now what we're proposing is scored concrete, similar to what's there at the existing stations. Here's the view.
The one thing that I would add to this view, you can start to see the fading scoring pattern. One thing that we're considering is perhaps colored paving for the platforms, maybe something to pick up the color of the crossing at the Spanish steps. But thus far, the proposal for the material of the main part of the platform is just scored concrete.
Right, and there's the last view from the ramp, so that's essentially from the entry. So you can see the components there. We've got ticketing on the left, and then the platform canopies. And then we also have our dynamic signage, which is our next train information that you can see there as well. All right, so closing out, we do have a station naming process. So those names that you saw on our alignment map, those are what we call our working names. So eventually we will come to a point where we'll officially name these stations. And that goes through a public process as well. And what we do is we gather suggestions from the public, take those suggestions, and then that information goes to our board. And our board will take that into consideration, but they do have the final decision as far as what these stations will be named.
Can we go back to the color naming comment?
Sure.
I was kind of curious about whether the color at the crossing was intended to be that way, or if it was just being shown as being different than the street pattern or street paving. The concern that I have is the color of the old city hall is pretty prominent in that area, and the Elks building is white and hopefully going to be whiter in the future. And there's so much kind of architectural richness in this street section already that I would prefer to see the paving of this downplayed as much as possible. I mean, I know that there's concerns about identifying pedestrian crossings and those types of things, which I think that is a real concern. But I would tone down the color.
So you're referring to that crosswalk color that's in this location?
Yeah. The crosswalk color and any color in the paving of the actual platform.
Okay.
I would say
already red.
More restrained is...
Yeah.
What's that?
The crosswalk is already red.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean the platform?
The platform, I would tone it down, yeah.
And if I could add, I
the
think
red is bad enough.
Across the extension to not introduce color to the concrete platform.
Across the extension?
Yeah.
What do you mean by the extension?
Of the light rail. So there'll be multiple.
The other stations
yeah,
as well.
Stations.
Yeah.
And it is something we do need to take some time to think about, because again, going back to maintenance, that's probably going to get worn out and faded over time, so to be able to cut that out and redo it, it's just something that we've
During the presentation, Emily had used the word timeless, and I think that is a good kind of theme to take into account. And so I think that the overall design seems relatively timeless. I think when we see more of the details of like what that screening is going to be, how that's made up, I'm not sure necessarily. I mean, clear glazing could be the right option or whatnot, but I think timeless and like as minimal of a kind of touch, like Commissioner Jensen said, as possible would allow the station to be noticed as a transit stop, but kind of not detract from the historic district around it. So being it as timeless and simple as possible, so that it ages well, just like the surrounding buildings.
We're a Landmarks Preservation Commission that likes minimalism.
Well,
I agree with both those comments.
The city hall, your eye is drawn to the ornamentation on the cornice and the tower, but the building itself is very simple with that thin brick.
Commissioners, do we have any other questions, or do you have anything else you guys would like to add?
No, the next steps is really just working with the commission as far as our next meeting with you. I would assume it's another briefing, and if we follow our typical pattern, we would come back to you in the spring, which is our 60% design milestone, and then figure out how to move forward with the official schedule.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Are they adding any rolling stock to the trains themselves? Will there be additional trains, or is it just the existing stuff they have? The vehicles themselves, and we are adding vehicles. Yes. So we are adding vehicles. I think it's total of five.
I think a total of five.
Nice.
I think five will operate on a regular schedule.
I just wonder, since it's at its 10-year mark, if it's
don't know.
No worries. All right. All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Going to move on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the phone.
Talk soon.
We should leave her on.
Okay. Take care. Bye bye.
Preservation planning and board business. First item is amendments to guidelines and inventory. So staff.
So I will keep this relatively short. Once annually, the commission reviews its guidelines, inventories, and bylaws. The municipal code requires that the commission maintain an inventory of historically contributing and non-contributing properties within historic districts, as well as design guidelines for the design review process. So we have a couple of amendments to the North Slope Historic District inventory, and the first is 1315 North 11th, correcting the build date to 1940, and then 1320 North 8th, which was to change from non-contributing to contributing. The second amendment is the Wedge North Slope Design Guidelines, changing the guidelines to prohibit vinyl windows in new construction projects, excluding garages. And then third, the Landmarks Commission in the spring of 2016 approved and directed staff to develop policy for notification for nearby and adjacent property owners for quote-unquote significant projects within historic districts. And then the last thing is allowing painting of individual landmarks to be approved by the 24-hour administrative review process. This is for existing painted surfaces, not for things that haven't been ever painted before and that are being painted now. Again, the Landmarks Commission will receive notification of that 24-hour review. And so the action requested is to approve the amendments. The Landmarks Commission held a public hearing on December 14th to consider these. There are several comments as noted in the staff analysis, and both, I think, the Commission by its prior action for these items and staff recommend approval of those changes.
Great, thank you. Is there any discussion about these amendments? Anyone in any disagreement with these amendments? No? Is there a motion then?
I move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission approve the proposed amendments to the bylaws, inventory, and Wedge North Slope District guidelines, design guidelines as submitted.
Great. Motion made by Commissioner Steele. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Flowers. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And the next item is officer elections.
So each year, the Landmarks Commission nominates a slate for officers for the chair and vice chair. There are no specific requirements in the bylaws specifying the manner in which officers are elected. The commission's done it in various ways over the years, by acclamation, by a secret ballot, by people leaving the room. But we do need to... do you need to elect the chair and the vice chair for the next year? As the commission knows, Katie Pratt is our current chair and Jonah Jensen is the vice chair. And I will leave it to the commission to determine how to proceed.
Would our chair and vice chair like to continue?
I would like to continue. Or do you not mind?
Move to approve.
Yes.
Done and done.
I move that we unanimously maintain our chair and vice chair.
Second.
Third,
should we need to vote on that?
Probably.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Discussion.
That was easy.
Thank you guys.
There wasn't the dead silence that there usually is in the air, like crickets.
Yeah,
no one wants to be in. Okay. Yes. Lauren, events and activities update.
Yes. So everyone should have received information about the CLG commissioner training on March 7th. The RSVP deadline is February 3rd, but if you could answer as soon as possible, that would be appreciated. There is no cost for Tacoma commissioners, so all I need is your lunch order. There's three options there, and then what drink type of soda you like or water, and if you can attend or not. So please respond to that when you can. That's all I have for now.
Oh, and can I say, we've been to, you know, folks have been to the prior commissioner trainings. Lauren has done such an awesome job doing this and generated such regional interest that the state has taken on the primary responsibility of doing this. because of the success, they decided they had to take it from us and build upon the work that Lauren's been doing. So I just wanted to point that out.
Congratulations, Lauren.
I think we have the best training in the state for CLGs. Honestly, I think our commission and what Lauren has done is
and this year will be a camp training, which is from the National Alliance of Preservation Commission. So it's these professional trainers that go around the country doing that. It's supposed to be pretty fancy. I haven't done one yet, but they're expensive, so you should attend. Because if you don't attend, it's actually cost quite a lot to go other places.
As long as they're s'mores.
Yeah, is there a
Well, if they do just throw candy at
them. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Like all good things, is Seattle going to steal this, or is Olympia going to steal it, so it won't be in Tacoma in the future?
Well, the,
since you've given it up.
I think the, one of the draws is that I do all the registration.
But other towns are sending their commissioners to Tacoma for this.
Yeah.
So
it's a tourism boom, I'm sure.
So many people.
All 30 of them.
The Chamber of Commerce is already getting geared up.
All right. Well, thank you, Lauren. I don't have any comments other than welcome to the new commissioners. I look forward to getting to know you more. So, all right. Meeting adjourned.
Yay.
Yay.
Good work.
10 minutes. 10 minutes.